Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This is Us, Season 6, Episode 15. Miguel is over. And spoiler alert, so is Miguel's life. But we are just getting started over here on the This Is Us farewell season post-show recap. I am one of your co-captains on the River of Tears, Jason Reed. My other co-captain with me here is Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you?
I am still recovering. I'm quite, I'm in a puddle form, but hopefully by the end of this podcast, I'll be put back together.
It's a fresh wound, a fresh wound.
Yes.
So I think most of us, you know, if you've ever watched any of these type of shows, could kind of see the writing on the wall. But we did get what we thought we were going to get. Miguel's life has ended, but we did get to see pretty much a full life of Miguel before he shuffled off this mortal coil.
Yeah, I mean, he got one episode. I kind of wish he got more episodes, you know? I kind of wish that we had a little bit more Miguel throughout the whole series. I do think that there was a payoff for those of us who have watched the whole series the whole time, because we could kind of see where these storylines are parallel in relation to the characters that we've watched for all of the series up until now in such intimate detail. But at the same time, his story was very compelling, and I kind of wish that we had more of it. And I will just say, like, very rarely do we get, like, Latina representation on the show. So, like, being able to dive into that culture and that the motivations of those families and all of that, I think deserved a little bit more time than maybe just one episode. But that said, the episode itself was very beautiful.
Yeah, a lot kind of came full circle in this episode with Miguel, you know, in regards to his relationship with his kids, in regard to relationship with Rebecca and Jack's kids. You know, we get hints of from the before times when, you know, Kevin was acting like a little jerk. Yeah. But now Kevin, at the end of Miguel's life, is, you know, really stepped up for Miguel and is kind of acknowledging Miguel's role in their life, you know, along with the other big the other two of the big three.
Yeah, and I think one of the questions that I had while watching this, and I wonder if it's like what they wanted us to question, is like, who really is the love of Rebecca's life? Is it Jack? Is it Miguel? I think that, you know, Jack's, the love that we know from Jack is big and grand and fantastic and all of these things. And even Rebecca says, you know, Miguel got the scraps of me, and, you know, trying to see where, how that love matches up. But I think there's something really beautiful about Miguel being around for the time that she was with Jack and the time after, and being able to really support her all the way through all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm firmly in the Jack is the one true love camp, but I think Miguel is a close second. You know, not to diminish their love, but you know, yeah. I think probably all in all, Miguel probably spent maybe a little less time with Rebecca than Jack did. I would say a little less time with Rebecca being Rebecca. I think I'll say that.
Yeah,
you know, being with the full Rebecca. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, let's dive into the episode if we're ready.
Let's do it. You got your tissues? You got your you ready to go?
Yeah, I got my trusty box. I'm leaving my box here until we finish with This Is Us right next to this computer that we're recording this podcast on, just in case I flare up. You know, I've had to buy extra boxes of tissues since the final season started. so we'll, you know, I'll charge it to the show later in the season. I'll get my money back from them because I'm going to need it. So we open in a flashback, you know, mm-hmm. typical This Is Us fashion. We're seeing Miguel's early years playing baseball with his buddies. And I guess this is Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we're in Puerto Rico. He's playing stickball with his buddies. He comes home to his parents, and we hear his parents talking about how his dad has lost his job. And that he has this opportunity to move to America. You know, mom is saying, you know, okay, I mean, are you sure that we have room for everybody? Like, can I bring my sister along? And we see the sister in a wheelchair. So we get an idea that the sister is ill. So the dad tells Miguel they're leaving and going to Pennsylvania. Says, hey, we're close to Pittsburgh. We can go watch Roberto Clemente play. We see Miguel seems to be probably a little conflicted. He puts on a happy face for his dad, but you can tell he's kind of, you know, kind of doesn't want to leave.
Yeah,
we get that. We go to, well, I'm calling the present in this episode right after Kate and Philip's wedding.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with that as the present this episode.
Yeah, I think in this little montage we do hear like the doctor say, how's your new hips since the wedding?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we've got a little time removed from the wedding, but around that time.
Yeah, so Miguel's had some work done. So he's gotten in the shop and gotten a new hip. So we see Miguel getting up and going about his what seems to be the new morning routine for himself and Rebecca, getting Rebecca's pills ready, helping her exercise, you know, just all the things that you know, kind of a caretaker would do for their spouse. Yeah. So we kind of see that's where Miguel and Rebecca are. We got hints of it in the wedding, but we are now seeing like the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like pill cases upon pill cases. It's not just like a collection of pills over on the side. It's like legit a pharmacy in the kitchen.
Like they have like a Mondo pill case. Like it's a huge pill case. So I mean, there's a lot to sort through. The nurse Layla comes in. So we you know, this is apparently a nurse that Kevin has hired to come help with Rebecca. The nurse says, "I'll go ahead and help with her exercise." But I was like, "Nope, I got it." Nurse is like, oh, okay, I'll organize her pills. Like, Miguel's like, nope, I got it. Yeah. So Miguel's really stepping up here and, you know, kind of taking the lead in the care for Rebecca, even though there's this nurse that's supposed to come help them. Rebecca and Miguel go on a walk. They come across a tree and they remark, you know, on how much the tree has grown. And they say, well, yeah, just like the tree, we're going to take it one day at a time. So we get the sense that probably around when the cabin was built, they planted this tree.
They did. Yeah. This was the tree that like Miguel said to Rebecca, we have to plant this tree because it was around the time of her diagnosis. And it was like, we can watch this tree. Like all of this stuff can happen, but we're going to have this tree. And this is the tree that we can come back to and always visit here at the cabin. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
I put in my notes, about like, that
tree. It's the tree.
Totally forgot about that. That like,
yeah,
the tree already had good significance, but now it just blows my mind, and I'm back there even more now.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm glad you're here to help me walk through.
Okay. I got you.
We see Miguel going back through the morning routine again as he's taking calls from you know, Randall, Kate, mm-hmm. Kevin about seeing Rebecca. Can I get her on a FaceTime? How's she doing with the new meds? And Miguel's trying to, you know, he's taking it all in stride. He's answering the questions, and we hear about, you know, Thanksgiving coming up. So we go back into the past, and Miguel's watching his dad work. His dad's obviously like a landscaper for, you know, for the high and mighty
Pittsburgh metropolitan area.
The Pittsburgh elite. Miguel tells his dad, I got to use the bathroom. And his dad says, okay, like, go. You can use the bathroom inside, but don't touch anything. Just like a parent would. So Miguel goes inside this nice big house. He spies a baseball game on the TV. And he goes and starts watching it. And the owner of the house sees him and lets him watch. And he says, he talks about how good Clemente is, even though he can't understand a word he says. You know, kind of how you would picture a middle-aged, higher class white guy talking is pretty much who this guy is, especially in the 70s, probably around what this was. So the man tosses him the yellow foul ball, and he says he got the other day when he was sitting at the stadium. Says, you know, your dad should take you to a game. Try and get a seat behind home plate. It's where I got this. Miguel says he just wants to see a game. It doesn't matter where he sits. The man says, well, where you sit is all that matters, actually.
I want to talk about this just a little bit from I'm like, oh, Miguelito, you're so tiny, you're so impressionable, right? Like, so my family is, my dad came to America from Mexico when he was very young, around 3-ish years old, so younger than Miguel here, but the impressions of white America, the impressions of America as a whole, which we know are painted by white America, are very important for fitting in. And so the signals here of, you can go inside, but don't touch anything. It's not just don't touch anything because I'm a parent and I want to tell you that. It's don't touch anything because I have to keep my job.
Yeah, we're fired if you break something.
Yeah, like, and also I have to, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the dates of history. Like, I don't know if Puerto Rico is a state right now. Like, some immigrants would have to worry about papers in this situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the situation here for Miguel's family, but like, don't mess with the man. Like, don't talk to the man is a big conversation that a lot of parents have had at this time, especially with young kids. And, you know, for this man to be like, hey, go see a baseball game at home plate. Right behind, like, shows that he has no concept of, like, what he's actually, he knows what he's paying his dad. Like, he knows exactly that thing. And to say, like, your dad has to take you to home plate, well, then give the man a raise so that he can.
I think also what he says, you know, well, where you sit is really all that matters. I think is kind of an early, really impression on Miguel to say, like, no, just you, like, where you sit is all that matters. Like, all that matters is your status. Is what you can get to. So that's a very young age to be like saying something. I'm sure young Miguel didn't get that at the moment, but that's probably something that echoed through his mind as he was growing up.
Very much
just seeing this successful man saying, like, you know, all that matters is where you're sitting at. If you're sitting in the good seats, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So we also see a little Miguel listening to English on the radio. Oh, and this we get these sense that this is how he's learning his English.
This is when I was like, oh my gosh, you're watching your father. My dad learned English by watching Cubs baseball. Like, that was, like, this is a very relatable story for people in terms of how to learn English. And the fact that he was listening to a radio show that said, you know, America is the greatest land of all, you know, these are things that families believe that carry them through the hard times. And so it was a very, very typical, I liked that they included this part of his story because it's very fundamental and foundational into who he is and how he sees the world. But it also is a conversation that they haven't had on the show. Like, we had our moment with Randall after Black Lives Matter and all of that. We were able to get into his experience of being an adopted Black male by a white family. So it was nice to get this side of the Pearson family represented as well.
Yeah, and like we said before, we haven't really gotten a lot of backstory of Miguel. This is an important story to be told, not just for this show, but for life in general. And to see Miguel go through this kind of identity crisis throughout the episode is important. And it's a good story to be told. Just wish we got a little sooner. As we go through this, we're going to see Miguel kind of fight back and forth to figure out who he is, what his identity is.
And I think it like speaks to the power of the love between the two of them, because as he says, you know, like, this is where he feels safe with Rebecca and this is where he feels seen. And so anything that dangers that is shaky ground for him.
Yeah. So we go a little further into Miguel's story. He's a grown up now. Yeah, he's obviously a big boy now. This is after, I think this is probably after he met Jack. He's going to an interview for, like, you know, a big boy job. You know, he's going to an interview with an employer, and you know, he's, the employer asks Mike Rivers, anybody named Mike Rivers? Or Miguel speaks up and says, yep, that's me. So we know something's up right here. So and the employer is saying, you know, the employer is like a surprise to see who Mike Rivers is, as you can tell. And as he's doing the interview, he says, well, your resume speaks for itself. And, you know, he asked Miguel, hey, can you speak Spanish? Because not a lot of guys on the job site you know, out there speaking English right now. So Miguel says, yeah, I can.
Yeah. And he's hesitant, right? Like, he's like, well, am I gonna go through this? I'm Mike Rivers right now. If I say I speak Spanish, I'm Miguel, you know, like.
But I think it's also like, is this who I want to be? Like, am I only getting this job because I can speak Spanish?
Yeah.
Like, and they need me to do this, or am I getting this on my merits?
Yeah, 100%.
So Miguel says, you know, Miguel tells him his real name. He says, you know, I actually sent in two resumes. One is Mike Rivers and then the other is Miguel. And Miguel did not get a call. Mike Rivers got the call.
Yeah, he sent in several resumes as Miguel.
This is relatable for, you know, Latin people and also for Black people that, you know, have these names that are trying to be recognized, you know, as not who you are, so that you can get a foot in the door. So that's something that they all share, because he knows if he, you know, puts a resume in as his real name, he's not going to get that call. You know, case in point, he did, and he didn't get the call. Same exact resume, didn't get the call as Miguel. So he knows how to play the game, and I really like that that finesse by Miguel. And to actually even just say that was like, you know, that takes some guts to say to you, like, this prospective employer, like, hey, just so you know, I know what's going on here. I know, like, why you didn't call me.
Yeah, he hadn't signed any papers. He didn't, like, get a paycheck before he said it. He said it, like, right after the handshake.
So next we see Miguel go to, this is, I think probably he's been at this job now for a little bit. And he comes to his family's house for Christmas. Tells his dad about the new job. And his dad is kind of been mocking him overspending too much. And he repeats the... what you feel is the mantra that his dad repeats him over and over again, because Miguel repeats it with him. And he says, you can't afford to not afford a roof over your head. So they say it together because Miguel's dad has said this so much, which basically is, you know, saying, you know, don't overspend. Don't go above your means.
Well, and here is, again, we see like the two sides of Miguel's identity, because he's like in this society where you earn money, you spend money, you get status, right? And then he's got his family that's like, just worry about shelter. Like, you just need to make sure that you have a roof over your head, and that's the number one most important thing. So he's kind of like, what world am I in?
Yeah, I mean, and Miguel's like, you know, I have, you know, he tells his dad, well, you know, I have to project success, because I think it also comes from, I'm this Latin person in this probably, you know, white male dominated field. I have to like show them that I am a success now, because they won't believe it unless I show it to them. So that's something that's, you know, you can tell that kind of weighs on Miguel a little bit, and that's part of him now. So, you know, his mom comes in and it says she misses his curly hair, because Miguel has straightened his hair. And he says, well, you know, I don't want to look like I just came off the boat, which is, and it, you know, his parents share like a kind of a look with each other, like, oh boy, what's going on with this guy? So he tries to get his family to let him pay for care for his aunt, but the family says they don't want his money. Miguel says, so what's the problem? Like, why don't you guys want me to help or anything? The dad says, you know, you come in here with your fancy hair, your fancy car, your fancy suit. He tells him not to forget where he came from. Miguel says, well, you know, you're the guy that moved us here, made us learn English, trying to make us fit in. What was the point of all that? And Miguel says, you split me in half when you moved me here. And now I figure it out. And it seems like you want me to struggle. Like, you want me to feel bad about making something of myself. He's like, why is that?
His dad says, this has to be like a conversation that so many immigrant families have had, like, in terms of, this wasn't a decision that I made. And now, I mean, because I'm the oldest child, I mean, Miguel's the only child in the situation, but like many oldest children in immigrant families are put on the responsibility of assimilating to the culture, earning money, doing all of these things. And he's like, I didn't have this choice, Dad. You're the one who did it. And then you split me in half. Like, what a statement. Like, and yeah. I'm sure, like, I know my heart was like, oh, and I'm sure, like, other people who are watching it felt that way too. It was just, and now you want to see me struggle. It's like, oh, man. Well,
it's almost like his dad is, like, accusing him of being, like, a sellout. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, like, what did you expect, like, when you bring me here, like, you just want me to be a landscaper like you? Like, is that what you wanted? Or you wanted me to bring me here to have me make something for myself? Which one is it?
Yeah.
So Dad's like, you know, that's a good question. And ask me later.
Which is like 100%. Like, I don't want to talk about this. We're never really going to talk about this. Like, I'm going to stuff this away. Like, Miguel's here being vulnerable. He's like, hey, look, this is how I feel. I feel split in half. You want me to, like, I'm doing my best, Dad. What do you want? And he's like, yeah, good question. We can talk about it later.
Yeah, that's such a parent move. Like, yeah. Like, ask me later when I have thought of something to say.
Yeah.
Because right now, you kind of got me on that one. I'll have to think of something to come back to you.
Well, and you know he's not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so it puts it back on Miguel if he really wants an answer.
Yeah, so Miguel, you know, he's a little fed up. So he decides to leave, says, enjoy the wine. And he takes off. And he goes to a bar and he meets with a bunch of friends. And who do we see there with the friends?
Ooh. It's
Jack and Rebecca. You know, Miguel is pretty sure that Rebecca hates him. He tells Jack that he comes over to Rebecca. He says, you know, you're kind of hogging this guy from me. I call him dandruff because he flakes on me so much now. Jack says he wants to check out Miguel's shiny new car. I just want to take a private tour, so I'm just give me the keys and I'll take a look myself. So he leaves Rebecca and Miguel together. I mean, this was obviously a setup here for them to get to know each other better. You know, and they both comment, oh, that was really subtle now, was it?
Yeah, what I really liked about the scene up until this point was that we saw Miguel knowing other people. I don't mean that to sound facetious in any way, but he like knew people's names and he said hi to other people before he met Jack, like at the bar. So he was established in his own right. It wasn't just like he was, you know, the sidecar to the Pearson family or to the Pearson story. He had his own gig. He knew, I think there was like a patty or something, like, and I know he's like working in sales, so you know it's part of his work to mingle and get to know people, but it was just nice to see him know other people.
Yeah, because maybe you thought he was like a Pearson family ghost. Like,
only
the Pearsons could see Miguel. He's this magical figure.
Yeah.
No one else could see Miguel but the Pearsons.
Or like, you know, like a third wheel in a relationship, which he kind of does, but like to the whole family.
Yeah, but Miguel has friends. How dare you say Miguel?
I mean, but we don't really see them.
We didn't see them at all.
You're
right. So Rebecca kind of gives Miguel a hard time. She's like, so why do you do this thing where you say people's names all the time? Like, hey, Patty, hey, Rebecca. And Miguel says it's kind of a sales trick to help you remember people's names. It helps to repeat their name when you see them. So we see Miguel kind of making eyes at a girl as he, Jack, and Rebecca are hanging out. And then you can see Rebecca kind of encouraged him to introduce himself to the lady. He introduces himself, and it's Shelly, his future wife and mother to his children. So we see a kind of a montage of Jack, Rebecca, Miguel, and Shelly kind of being friends and all hanging out all the time. And then we see more montage of Miguel's life. We see him kind of, we don't see him marry Shelly, but we get the intimation that he's married Shelly. They have a baby.
There's like an engagement ring situation that we see. So
right.
We can infer.
Then we get to Miguel and Shelly kind of having arguments. And interestingly enough, Shelly is like, you know, I bet you Jack doesn't do this. Jack doesn't do that.
Oh my
and
God.
Miguel's like, well, I'm not freaking Jack, which is such a interesting line to say where, you know, I'm sure that's probably what he has been thinking for, like, you know, fast forwarding to present Miguel. That's what he's been thinking probably for years when someone like confronts him with that. Well, I'm not Jack. Like, whoa. Probably with Jack's kids. Like,
and how heavy is it to carry that comparison?
Yeah.
For so many years, you know, and I felt so like, and I think that scene ends with him just sitting alone on the couch drinking. And I think he knows, like, what have I got myself in here into here by being friends with Jack?
Because now Jack is ruining my life. Yeah. He's the perfect person. I'm sure it's like how all of us fathers felt watching this show.
And
like,
as
we see Jack being super dad, and we're like, as we see our wives look at us like, why can't you be more like Jack? Well, look, I'm not Jack. He's a TV character. What do you expect?
Well, and I also have to. His
life is saying that.
Yeah. And I have to question, is the reason that Miguel is late coming home because Jack has asked Miguel to do stuff and Miguel can't say no, so he ended up doing stuff and that's why he's late? So does he have like anger towards Jack in this? Like, of course Jack is home for dinner. You know why? Because I'm doing his work.
Like, yeah, Jack's the big boss and I'm the underling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I think, you know, if that is the case, I wish they would have hit us over the head with it, but
I think it's mentioned a couple like seasons, and like you can see like the working relationship between Jack and Miguel in one of these many seasons that we've had. It was just a thing that I remembered. I was like, oh, I don't think they were happy all the time as friends, and I think it had to do around work.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. So we come back and we see a scene of Miguel kind of in the middle of the owner of the house that he went into when he was a kid and his dad. And they're passing a ball back and forth, kind of playing keep away from Miguel as Miguel's running towards the owner of the house. And he's also running towards his dad trying to catch this ball. And it's such a just like a metaphor for it, which side of life Miguel wants to be. You know, does he go to his roots? Or does he go to this new successful kind of passing as, I guess, trying to pass as an American guy? And this was so interesting to see this. It was such a striking moment.
Yeah, it was like a dream that he was having, right? And I think that the use of baseball. Baseball is a very American thing, right? First of all. So, and there's a lot of masculinity tied into baseball. There's a saying that like baseball separates the boys from the men. Mm-hmm. There's a big thing about that. And then Field of Dreams. Like, how can you not think of Field of Dreams when you're looking at the scene of, you know, a dad just wanting to play catch with the son or a son wanting to play catch with his dad? Spoilers. Not really Field of Dreams, but you know, it was such a clever mechanic to use baseball to kind of be the touchstone for Miguel throughout this whole story.
Yeah, baseball has been a big part of Miguel's life. We see it as, you know, one of the earliest scenes we get of Miguel as a child playing baseball. He and his dad obviously bond over baseball. When he first met this older white gentleman, it was about baseball. So baseball is a big part of Miguel's life. And I wish they kind of, it would be interesting. I don't know if they knew they were going to do that, you know, with Miguel's story, but it would be nice to see that kind of seeded into Miguel's past in the show. We know that Jack and the Pearsons are big football people. Yeah. But what if Miguel was like, football, whatever, baseball is where it's at.
Or like try to, and he may have in a couple of episodes try to play catch with the kids. Like, hey, Randall, let's go play. Tried to do that. Like, just have a nod to it, even though it's like not football.
He knew playing not trying to catch, Kevin. Kevin would have chucked catch. That baseball over the roof.
Yeah, definitely.
F off, old man.
Yeah.
I dad.
Yeah.
So we get Miguel waking up from this dream, and we're in the present time. He sees that Rebecca is not in bed, so he goes to try to find her. We see Rebecca outside laughing, and she's kind of wandering around in the snow. Miguel tries to put a coat on her and tries to get her back in the house, but he slips and falls. This was the first moment in the episode. I was like, oh, no. Is this how it ends?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think at first I thought it was a very, like, beautiful type of moment. Rebecca, of course, is not in the present time in her mind. You know, she's just like out there enjoying the snow and she wants to dance with Miguel and like have this thing. But Miguel can't be in that moment with her. So even though they are like together and living at the same time, they're not really in the same moment for much of this entire time. And so what the fall is kind of, I think, also like a reality check for Miguel a little bit as well, because I think it's a signal that, like, one, my wife isn't in the same moment as me, and two, my body is not good.
yeah, things are not going well. I was like, oh, don't tell me like Rebecca wanders off, leaving Miguel. Miguel can't get up. Freezes to death. I was like, is this it? Is it over?
I can't blame Rebecca for this because she's, you know, going through what she's going through. But she like laughs. She's like, ah. Right. I'm just like, oh my gosh, what if he can't get up? Oh my gosh, he's gonna have to crawl.
Miguel's like younger Miguel, and he can get up and be just fine. Yeah. Miguel's not this older Miguel where he's it's a little tougher to get back up once you've fallen down.
Yeah.
But they do get back inside the house, and Miguel puts her by the fireplace to warm up. And we get these flashbacks, to kind of rebel some of Rebecca and Miguel's moments. We see Rebecca telling him that Jack's dead, and the final moment before Miguel reveals he has to move away, telling her that he's been so good to them. We see kind of probably what Miguel's thinking in his mind. Like, I remember these moments in our lives, and now we're here. So then we see a bunch of moments after Miguel has moved in the past. He tries to get in contact with his kids. He gets no response. This is after he's moved to Houston to try and be closer to them and to take this other job. Then his mother calls, and we find out that Miguel's father has passed away. At the wake, he gets kind of teased and called a cowboy by his other relatives. And they start speaking Spanish around him, and it looks like he doesn't really understand. And like, he looks at them like, oh, I'm not really getting what you're saying. Like, I've kind of lost that since I haven't been around it a lot.
Did you get that? And he's responding in English, like,
yeah,
most of the time, too. Which is interesting because Houston, I have a lot of family in Houston. Houston's, like, full of Spanish-speaking people. So it's interesting. That tells me that he avoided those groups of people and didn't really want to connect with his heritage in any way while he was there.
Yeah, it just seems like he's lost that part of himself, and that he's lost that part of his identity, which, you know, we can kind of see he'll try to get it back a little later. So his mom greets him and says, you know, his dad died being proud of him. Miguel says he just wishes he had a little more time with him. His mom tells him he wants him to help me get your aunt into bed. And we basically just see his mom like pick up his aunt and put her into bed. They have a chat and say he can't believe that, you know, Aunt Gabby is still holding on. She doesn't know how she does it. And the mom tells a story about how, you know, she used to hate Gabby. You know, they fought over everything, clothes, boys, every single thing. And Gabby used to get these headaches, and, you know, his mom thought she was faking. But then she had a massive stroke at 24, and so, well, I guess she wasn't faking those headaches. Miguel tells her, you know, he sees how hard she works, and it's a thankless job. Mom says it's not thankless. Like, love is giving heart without exception. Miguel says he's not sure that he has that in him, and he's lost right now. His mom tells him he'll find his way back, and she knows he'll find someone to love again. He says his biggest regret is not getting his father's coquito recipe. And his mom says, who do you think taught him?
I loved it.
So we obviously get that. Miguel gets the coquito recipe. This was a super emotional moment, and kind of in this moment foreshadowing why Miguel is so, you know, where he learned so much devotion from
very
his
much
mom
so.
Taking care of his aunt.
Yeah.
And you know, we can just, that's a direct line right there.
Yeah. I mean, she carried around so much for so long because of her sister, right? Like, yeah. 24, by the time we see Miguel's mom, she's definitely not 24. You know, she's like 24 times three. She's definitely up there. And so, and she's at like physically, her, like Miguel's mom is physically picking up Gabby and putting her in her belly without help, without any of this. That's like, I've transferred humans from wheelchairs to beds. This is not an easy transfer to do. It takes a lot of strength and not only the emotional strength to like see your sister in this moment. So, I mean, I guess good genes for this trauma.
I'm like, Miguel, what are you doing? You're standing there watching your elderly mom pick up your elderly aunt. Help out, man. It was just a touching moment to see, like, so, even someone that, you know, his mom had a little bit of resentment for his aunt, but, you know, she's still taking care of her, and just show that love, you know, knows no bounds. Basically, when you love someone that completely and deeply, you'll do anything for them. And we see that Miguel carries that out later in his life. So we go a little past this moment. you know, probably a few years down the line, we see Miguel looking at Facebook and we see him check out Rebecca's profile.
Facebook stalking, I would like to
Facebook
say.
Facebook stalker. And he sends that first message off that post that Rebecca sent when, if you all don't remember, Rebecca got on Facebook around the same time that Tess was born. And that was her first post on Facebook. And, you know, Miguel's probably doing a Google's, like, probably had like Google alerts or Facebook alerts for Rebecca Pearson. And then she popped up and he, you know, he jumped on it immediately. So he sent that first message and Rebecca responds back pretty fast saying, how you doing? And they start getting, you know, getting into the groove of things.
I just have to say they did a great job with the time. Like, I have been on Facebook since college. I know all the Facebook layouts. They got the interface correct. I was like, this is the dated Facebook interface. We are good. Way to go. You did your homework. Because sometimes it can be very distracting. If you see like a computer screen, it either has to be like one that makes total no sense or one, at least
the
for
most
me,
basic of attention. Fonts.
Yes.
Like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, like welcome like, to GeoCities.
Yeah, like no chat agent or anything. It's just like a big screen on the big pop-up on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good on them for sourcing what Facebook looked like back then.
Yeah.
So we go to the present time and we see that it is Thanksgiving. The big three are at the cabin with Miguel and Rebecca. Interesting that, you know, we get Randall saying, oh, the kids will come tomorrow. Where are Randall's kids? We haven't seen Randall's kids since we haven't seen him at the wedding.
Yeah.
We haven't seen here. Give me some Randall's kids.
Yeah. I think it's total weird COVID casting situations happening. Like you can totally tell it's for a production reason and not a story reason. I think.
I mean, they probably didn't want to hire aged up actresses to play Randall's kids. And they're just like, oh, we'll just say they're not here right now. Whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got a few years, I think, until Rebecca goes, at least at the time of this episode. But we do have adult Randall's children.
Yeah, we got everybody. But yeah, probably not. Yeah, we're not exactly there yet. Probably another 3 years. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
So, you know, they all meet up with Rebecca and Miguel. Miguel's hugging everybody, and we can tell that Miguel's hurting. Randall asks Rebecca how she's doing. She says she's okay. But then she really starts to freak out when Miguel leaves the room for a minute to get some Advil. And she's really freaking out, even though he just left 2 minutes ago. She's like, Where's Miguel? And she just starts getting really upset.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell the big three are like, oh, this is not good. This is a changing situation.
Yeah, and I think they're concerned on a couple of fronts, because when Randall hugs Miguel, he's like, this is not great. But then they're like, oh, hey, you know, mom was about to go on a walk. So like they're they're like, oh, mom's in great condition. And then all of a sudden Miguel leaves the room and like, oh, mom is not in good condition.
Yeah. And like, it's interesting because you think maybe like, is Miguel kind of downplaying things? Cause the big three aren't there with Rebecca every day. So he's probably downplaying stuff a little bit, like, oh yeah, she's fine, she's good, blah, blah, blah. But then when they see her like really freak out about Miguel being gone for 2 seconds, as if she did not remember he was standing right there next to her a second ago, they can tell something major has shifted and it's not a good situation. I mean, it wasn't a good situation before, but it's gotten a lot worse now.
Well, I think, you know, as someone entering middle age with older parents myself, every little change is a question that Like, oh, did mom and dad do that last time? Or is this new? Is this a new behavior? Is this a new change? Is this like type of thing? So when something that big is happening, it's like a big signal.
Yeah, this episode is a big theme in, you know, this kind of these circle of life, as in your parents take care of you as kids, you grow up and be an adult, and then you eventually have to take care of your parent like they took care of you when you were younger.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big theme here as we get later into the episode, the big three have to kind of step in and, you know, take over in the care of their mother. So that was a very interesting kind of theme throughout the episode. We flash into the past again. We see Miguel and Rebecca chatting back and forth online. There's a lot of talk about Meredith Vieira hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was very relatable. I remember this flashpoint moment in life when Regis didn't host Millionaire anymore.
No mas. There was no mas Regis. Yeah, that was a big moment. But it was also their show that they watched like together when they were not dating. Like, yeah. I think there's like a couple of scenes of them on the couch and Kate's just like, what are you like, what is happening?
Weirdos.
Yeah.
Crazy adults. So they, you know, as you do back in the day, took it kind of IRL. They started talking on the phone. They talk about everyday stuff. He asks about Matt, you know, the guy that she was dating when Miguel left. And, you know, he says, oh, that guy was kind of boring. Rebecca says, oh, we dated for a few months, but yeah, you're right. So he lets her know, I'll be in your area for some business stuff, you know, in a little bit. So Rebecca suggests they get dinner. They meet up at dinner. A little awkward small talk at first. And then he comes right out with it. He tells her, you know, he has spent the last 8 years wondering if he made the right decision leaving her, you know, at that moment when he moved to Houston. He knows he had to leave and he never felt like he belonged. You know, was I Spanish, Puerto Rican, English? But the first time that he felt homesick was when he left Rebecca on that porch that night. Ooh.
Okay, he's speaking Jack language, right? Like, yeah, this is he totally stuff. Is like,
this is the Jack
pulling move. The Jack card. Like, this is what Jack would say. And I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't mean it, but I think that's why it got Rebecca to do what she did.
You know, he knows how to get Rebecca. He knows how to get the engine churning.
Yeah.
A little sweet talk.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca with her fresh self, just comes over to his side of the table and she plants one right on him, kisses him like, real like, passionate.
Like,
and he gives it back to her. I'm like, oh, let's go.
I was like really, you know, for all of this time of not liking Miguel, thinking that Miguel was the one that really like initiated a lot of the relationship and things like that. It was really great to see Rebecca being the one that actually was like, okay, I see your little tiny step up to the curb, but I'm going to take it up a notch. And she's the one that actually like sent the big signal saying, hey, there's something here. Let's see what we can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think they both knew something was there. It just took whoever was going to make the first move.
Yeah.
And Rebecca was the one that made the first move. Like I said, kind of pretty surprising, I think, to most of us. Because she is the one that has had this big loss, but she's ready.
Yeah.
She ready. So we get the next flash of them in bed. And it seems like it's probably been a few months since that first date. And, you know, she tells him that, you know, he should move a branch of his company there to Pittsburgh. So, you know, he could be close by. And he tells her he's actually contemplating retirement. They look very happy. And then Miguel ruins the mood, in my opinion.
It's cool, like, and they're in bed. Like, it's so vulnerable. Like, it's so like, oh my gosh, they're so naked. And you're going to bring this up?
He tells her, you know, we never talk about him. If I was a Wrecker, I'd be like, him who? Who are you talking about?
Me too. I was like, which, what, who?
And he wonders, and Miguel wonders what Jack would think about all this. Rebecca says, well, you know, she wonders too. And she's also been wondering about the situation herself. And thinks, you know, she thinks Jack would want the best for the both of them, you know. And I'm just picturing Jack like in heaven, like, no, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I was trying to set up. No, no, no. Miguel, not cool, bro. Not cool.
Bro code. Bro code, bro.
What was best for you both, but not with each other. Come on. Damn. So they're still, you know, they're reminiscing about Jack, talking about Jack a little bit. And so Rebecca tells him, you know, we have to tell the kids. And you just see the smile on Miguel's face just like disappear, like, oh
God. Yeah. And Rebecca's like, we have to tell the kids. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fine. Like, I'm so happy about it. Miguel's like, oh, really though? Not so much.
Why, you know, Miguel's thoughts about the kids have to be like not great. I mean, last time he was there, Kate gave them attitude, as Kate does. Kevin's life was spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wish I would get we could have got a picture of what Miguel thought about the kids at that moment. We didn't really get any indication of how he felt about it. We saw his smile disappear at that moment. But you know, now the kids are grown up, so,
well,
you know,
we'll and he also goes. Like, his relationship with his own kids is not good. So like, yeah. He's like, I don't know how to kid, like, yeah. I don't know how to parent. Not I don't know how to relate guy. To the, yeah, how to relate to this. I think that was also running around in his mind as well.
So we go to the family Thanksgiving, right at, you know, probably shortly after they have this conversation about just telling the kids. And they're discussing how they're going to tell the kids and how it's going to work. So they flirt a little bit. They start kissing. And lo and behold, the big three walk in on them.
Yeah, well, first of all, like, when Miguel was like, I'm talking about retirement, I'm like, you guys are so frisky for talking about retirement. Hey, man. Like, whoa, look at you breaking the stigma. Get it after 50. Like, go do it.
50. You haven't heard? You get your second wind at 50.
Yeah, yeah. It was good to see. It was, you know, good to see that that was still there. And that was like, they had that in their relationship. But yeah, and to get caught by the kids is also like a role reversal, right?
Yeah. So they leave us on that kind of cliffhanger going into commercial. We come back from commercial. The kids are kind of grilling Miguel and Rebecca. And this was just such a fun moment of the episode. You know, Rebecca tells them, well, you know, we kind of started hooking up shortly after Tess was born. They go, whoa. The kid's like, hey, whoa. What do you mean hooking up? And Miguel has explained that. Well, no, she means like we reconnected. That's what they mean. And Rebecca's like, well, what else would hookup mean?
Such and, a parent moment.
They tell her what hookup means. And she's like, oh, no, we started doing it only a couple months ago. I was like, no, come on. We don't need that. We don't need that. And I love Beth here. Like, yeah. Kind of just saying, like, I knew it. I told all y'all I knew it. Why would Rebecca have plans on July 4th? Sorry, Rebecca. No need to put you down. Beth, I want bringing in the kind of comedic tension, comedic relief to break the tension.
Well, and I also love that she's like, I told you we haven't seen the last of Migs. Like, Migs. They have like their own like nickname for him and like all that stuff.
So Kevin being kind Kevin. Of who Kevin was at this time says, you're my dad's best friend. How could you do this? And Rebecca shoots at him like, hey, you're an adult now. Act like it. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Miguel says, you know, I love Jack, but now I'm in love with Rebecca. And Kevin gets all bratty, says, Thanksgiving's over, and runs off.
I'm taking the hat.
Wish you could have got more Miguel-Kevin interplay. Maybe Miguel runs after Kevin, tries to talk about it a little bit, but Kevin wasn't in the mood anyway, I don't think.
I think those are the moments that we did get to see in other episodes throughout the series. I think that we do get some good Kevin-Miguel interactions, conversations, and you kind of can see them learning about each other. If you will go rewatch the whole series after the whole thing is done, because who wants to cry that much when we're done with all of it?
Yeah. Not this guy. I'm looking forward to never crying again. I've released all my tears.
Crying is healthy.
So we then get kind of a look. We kind of get a look into the, we don't get to look into it. We get to hear some of the wedding vows between Miguel and Rebecca. Now, I really, really wish you could have seen the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And according to John Huertas, they did plan on showing the wedding, but they literally just ran out of time in the episode and had to like change plans and not show the wedding. I feel like we could have cut something to get a couple of scenes of the wedding.
I think like, okay, so this is a voiceover and we see a lot of caretaking happening during this voiceover. One or two of those shots could have been like a quick look at them at the altar. Look at them dancing. There's so many parts throughout the series, especially this season, where Rebecca is referencing the wedding and talking about like their vows and the dancing and all of the stuff. And then we get robbed of that. We get a picture on the wall. I totally get that there's a lot in this episode, but I will tell you, this is the first time I've watched This Is Us live in a very long time. And the amount of commercials and the, like, like there's enough time, but you know,
we got to sell some ads.
Yeah.
So in back in the present, we get Kevin kind of walking in on Miguel, looking at his bruise that he got from falling on the in the snow. So then we see the nurse explaining to the big three how Miguel fell, but he's putting on a brave face, and he's, you know, he's just it's a problem, but he's pretending it doesn't exist, basically. So the big three basically confronts Miguel, and Miguel's trying to play it off. He's like, "Oh, it's just a bruise. It's fine." Mm-hmm. You know, Kate tells me, "I think it's time we probably have a full-time health nurse or around-the-clock care." And Miguel's saying, "No, I got it. It's fine. She does not respond well to strangers. I got this." And he kind of gets upset, and he says, "You know, this is my wife. You know, I made her a vow. You know, I failed everything else in life, including my parents, Shelley, and my kids. And I'm not going to leave Rebecca's side. And this is the first thing, I'm the first thing she sees. It grounds her up, and it grounds me. And as long as she needs him, he isn't going anywhere." This was heartbreaking right here.
This is when I was like, I am watching my dad again. I was just like, you know, so much he's carried. Miguel has carried so much and has not asked for or accepted help this entire time. So I'm not surprised that this is his reaction. But at the same time, the man is falling apart. And he, you know, he's got to get to a point where he is able to open up, and the line of, "I have failed everything else in my life," to see those things and those relationships as failures, mainly probably, I'm guessing, because he's been comparing them to the Pearsons the whole time. Like, his ideal American family was next to him and close to him for so long of his life, with Jack and without Jack. And like, he got to see how the Pearson children supported Rebecca. He got to see how their relationship grew. He got to see how Jack had relationships with the big three. And so to think that that failure came from, I mean, they didn't say it in the show, this is me just inferring, came from comparison of his best friend's family.
Well, I mean, we see really his ex-wife comparing him to Jack.
Yeah. So that
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't know if you would say that he failed his kids because of that. Because you would think with Jack as a role model, he would have done better with the kids. But I think just distance probably played a big part in the failure to connect with his kids.
Well, yeah. Like, if this was Jack's situation, he'd be on a plane every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be, you know, he'd be there, and Miguel didn't have that in him to provide for his kids. So
So then we get Randall telling Miguel, you know, they're not doing this to him, they're doing it for him, and that Miguel has honored his vows and then some. And they are grateful and they love him.
This was a huge moment for Randall, because I think we also seen throughout the entire series that like Randall has issues accepting help. Randall has issues, you know, letting other people in. And I think that like this speech that he gives Miguel is one that his own siblings have given him, or, you know, or at least Rebecca has given him at times in his life, of like, we're not doing this to you, we're doing this for you.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Randall kind of come to terms with the fact that he needs more help. We saw him last season dealing with his therapist, you know, and knowing now, and this is a much wiser Randall. Because this time would have been few years ago that he sought all this help, and he's had like two nervous breakdowns So he doesn't want to see Miguel go through what he went through. So he's telling him, like, trust me from experience, like, we're stepping in to do this for you because we know that you can't, that you're not I don't want to say you're not capable, but you are just relenting into, you know, doing this for yourself and for Becca. You think you have to, but you don't. We're here for you. We got
yeah. this. Well, and they have the resources and to do this. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, go do
we
it.
Got Manny money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We built you a whole ass cabin with a room for a nurse.
Right.
We got this. We can hire you 6 nurses. Like, that's how much we got. We got an aspiring senator. We got the Manny. We got the money. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, Kate and Phillip could probably, like, contribute something.
Kate and Phillip can buy, like, a housewarming gift.
They'll give him a green egg.
Oh, God. No. Oh, my God. This family cannot handle cooking appliances. Like, what is up? Like, crock
pots. True story. True story.
Like, green eggs. Like, let's keep all appliances away from the Pearson. Let's do that, please. So Miguel says, I have to be there for her. He says, you have been and you will. Now, please let someone take care of you. It's just so great seeing the big three step up like this for Miguel.
Yeah.
For Miguel and for their mother. But they're after all the crap they've given Miguel over the years, it's good to see them stepping up like this and telling him, like, in no uncertain terms, like, no, we know what you've been doing. We know that you have been taking care of her, and we appreciate it that you have taken care of our mother like you were her first love, like you've been together for all these years. We appreciate it. We that love has- you. Like, that moment they say, we love you. It's like, oh, make my heart warm.
Well, and again, if he's always comparing himself to Jack to finally, like, not say finally, because I'm going to assume that they've said that to him that we just haven't seen.
Yeah, but they're finally getting acceptance from Jack's kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing that, like, allows him to say, okay.
So then we get some flashes, a little montage of both Miguel and Rebecca kind of working out together, doing stuff together. And we kind of see the nurse taking over more. The nurse is now doing the pills. The nurse is now leading the exercises for both of them. Mm-hmm. We get to flash to Miguel at his doctor. The doctor's asking if he's taking his meds. He's just, like, a little concerned about the pain in your left arm. And this is when the dread really starts to kick in for me, for Miguel. And we see Miguel still kind of helping get Rebecca up for the morning. But then we see Kevin is also there and also helping Miguel help Rebecca.
Yeah.
Which was really a nice moment to see. And you got to think, like, we know that Rebecca saw Kevin as Jack at the wedding. Like, does she think, like, Jack and Miguel are here together, like, helping her, like,
what kind of fantasies is she having?
I'm telling you, like, this is a geriatric's dream right here. We get, in a fantastic moment, we see Kevin visiting Miguel's son.
Yeah.
And Kevin tells me, I want to let you know that I don't think Miguel has a long time left. And, you know, you really don't want to leave things unfinished. Trust me, you don't. And this moment was big because we know Kevin probably feels that way because Kevin wasn't there, you know, the night of the fire.
Yeah.
And he has always probably had this feeling of leaving things unfinished with his father, like, didn't get to be there with him in his final moments.
But I also think it's highlighting the growth of the Kevin that we know since that moment, because he, like, Miguel's son says, like, what do you expect me to do with that? And he's like, whatever you want. Like, yeah. It's yours to deal with. Where Kevin of past Kevin would be like, I want you to come to the cabin. I need you to do this. Get in the plane. I got this for you. You know, like, he understands boundaries now, and he understands, like, he brought everything to this man's door, and now it's up to him to take the action.
Yes, Doc, you should know, is what he says to Miguel's son. So we get a flash of Christmas, it looks like, which would probably about around the time that Kevin had this conversation, and we see the whole family's there, including Miguel's son and daughter. We also see Miguel and Rebecca looking on as the younger kids of the family play.
But this was also so sad, because was Rebecca really there? Was he able to share this moment with her? Like, after all of this time, does Rebecca know that Miguel's kids are in the room? you know, that's all I could think about is like how heartbreaking this, like, he's like, okay, yeah, Rebecca's here, but Rebecca's like looking off somewhere else and not really here. And so, you know, even though he was able to get to this moment, he's not really able to like really experience it, I think.
So we get to, you know, we get a shot of the tree, which is huge now. And then we flash to the family all dressed in black, minus Miguel.
It's like the tree outside has no leaves. Like,
They're all looking at the tree, and we can pretty much infer what has happened here. Miguel has passed away. We get a nice scene of back at the bar with Miguel and Rebecca. Miguel says something to her in Spanish.
Yeah, he was basically like, because she asked him, who are you and what's your story? Which is like such, I don't know if there was anyone that asked him that question before then.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and he replied in Spanish, which is different for him, right? Like, we hadn't seen him speak Spanish since really talking as a kid to his parents. And he said, you know, like, I don't know, but it's a good question.
This was the moment. You know, shortly after he left his parents' house,
right,
and for him to echo the words of his father, was big. You know, especially in a moment where he didn't know it was going to have so much significance to him in his life later down the line.
This and I think
with him and his future wife sitting there,
I think this question and this moment explains their entire relationship, because I think Rebecca was the first person to be curious about Miguel. And to ask, who are you, and be interested in that. And, you know, it was a friendship that blossomed over many, many years and over many, many life changes. But the fact that it started with this question is just so beautiful to me.
Yeah, it was a great moment, a great callback to Miguel and his dad. We then see them spraying the ashes both at the tree, and we see Kevin and Miguel's son spraying the ashes in his home in Puerto Rico from when he was a kid on the baseball field, which was just, got the chills going.
Yeah, that's when I was like, real Field of Dreams vibes here. We've got, you know, and Kevin, I think I mentioned this in the kickoff pod, but that's a Jack thing. Kevin did a Jack thing. He really stepped up here and did what is right for the family, for healing, and, you know, maybe for himself. He was really curious or whatever, because I think in the conversation that he had with Miguel's son, he says, you know, I never really asked him about him. Like, I never really got to know him. And so being able to pay tribute to him in this way by actually going to Puerto Rico and doing that was really great. I think
that could have been an episode all into itself.
Like
Kevin and Miguel's son, like, learning more about Miguel through going to like his childhood home and maybe talking to people that knew Miguel when he was a child. That could have been just a whole episode in and of itself, but that's the problem with only giving Miguel one episode at the end of the series.
You
can't dive deeper like that. But I think we can make an episode in our heads of what that was like. We know Kevin is one to fly to
a country
and find out about somebody. We know Kevin's got that in him.
We've got, like 8 episodes or maybe a whole season of him out in Vietnam.
We know Kevin gonna jump on a plane real quick and learn something about your life. We know that's what he can do. And for him to do that for someone who I think by the end, he kind of looked at as a second dad.
Yeah.
For him to do that for his biological father and to do that now for his, you know, stepfather is big and is important and is a big moment for Kevin in his evolution. As we kind of see this Kevin in this timeline we're in that we call the present, is big growth, is the Jack of this timeline. Like, Kevin is the Jack. Wanting to go to the above and beyond for his family.
Yeah.
So big moment, big love there. So that's the episode for this week. Now, in the preview.
Mm-hmm. Wait, before we go to the next, I do want to just check in on this episode.
Uh-huh.
How would you rate this episode in terms of tissues? Was it 1 to 5 tissues for you?
So listen, throughout most of the episode, right, I'm like, okay, this is cool, this is good. I'm learning more about Miguel. I'm at like a two tissues, you know. I'm at there for most of, but then the last 15 minutes of the episode was a full five tissue episode. And I mean, when we got to the cut to the family all in black at the tree, I was like, oh my god, where's my six tissue? It was a five tissue episode for me, all in all. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, having so much representation of my family. I mean, yeah. I'm not Puerto Rican, but I'm half Mexican, half Polish, and we've got, you know, a Mexican parental or like a Latina parental figure and a white mom. So I'm just like going through this, you know, at, like looking at the story, and I couldn't help but think of my own life. So I hit five tissues pretty early. I hit that pretty early. And then at like, I had to text my sister after this, and I was like, I just watched this thing, and I love my family so much. I was all like, oh.
This was definitely a call your parents episode, you know, to check in. And, you know, it's like you mentioned, it's a interesting Latin culture check in here, which you don't really look to this show to get most of the time, because Miguel has been such a kind of tertiary character for most of the series. You know, he had these moments throughout the series. You're like, yeah, go Miguel, get him, Miguel, like good on you, Miguel. But we get this one episode at the end, like I kind of said, like it kind of felt like they were breaking down the story for season six, and they're in like the writer's room, and somebody like steps on a note card, like, oh, what's this? Oh, dang it, we're supposed to tell Miguel's story. Like, we left this over from like season four. Dang it. All right, I guess we'll have to get to it in season six. Wish we could have got more, but what we got was, I think, spectacular. Really great episode. Just off the charts for me. And to tell such a story and leave the big three out of it for the most part tells you how successful this series is at telling multiple different stories.
Yeah, I mean, like, we all knew it was like kind of going on in their lives, and I didn't really need them. Like, it was great when they showed up, but I didn't really need them. Just to the representation part, I just think, I hope what this shows is that people will watch stories about Latin culture and be, you know, it's okay to tell them. We have, you know, we have a member of the Patreon community, Felipe, and he's always talking about, you know, how important it is to see himself. He's very young, to see himself reflected, and everyone deserves that. And so I just hope that, yes, it was one episode, but I hope it just causes someone to say, it's okay to tell that story on a network television show. And hopefully we'll see some more of it.
More representation for all. That's what we're, what we're here for. So next week, the episode is titled Family Meeting, and we see Kate calling for a family meeting in the preview for next episode. And it seems that it might get a little contentious between the big three as they're trying to suss out who Rebecca should live with for the remainder of her days.
Yeah, I mean, I think this happens, right? Like, there's a family decision, and then time passes, and then it comes to crunch time, and it's like, am I really okay with this decision? Am I really okay with Kate being the person for mom, you know? And I am excited to see, because we do get a clip in the preview where Kate's like, you don't see mom.
Yeah.
Like, you think you do. And it's kind of like a check for Randall. I think he's like hearing it for the first time. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
I hope we don't get too much drama. Maybe I'm ready for some drama. Maybe I won't cry as much.
Right. I think this is definitely like a, hey, we know you cried. Here's some stuff to build you up for the next fall.
Here's some juicy mess for y'all right before the end. Cause we know that the big three can get pretty messy. I do hope it does not end with Kevin once again telling Randall he wishes that he never was brought home. That was a sincere low point of the series.
Dark days.
Let's not go through that again. Let's fight cleanly here, big three. So I'm excited to see what that will bring next week. Marissa,
yes,
tell everyone where they can find you and your mountain of podcasts that you're on?
Well, the mountain is getting smaller, which is good, which is all right. But I am on, I'm going to start covering The Staircase, which is a HBO show about the Michael Peterson trial, which was like a thing that people watched at the beginning of the pandemic. I will be covering with Ariel, and you may know us from The Dropout and other podcasts. And we just wrapped up coverage on Russian Doll. You can catch our wrap-up episode of that with Grace Leader, and we invited Dr. Amanda to that conversation. It was a great conversation about trauma and roast chicken. So if you like either of those things, we invite you to stop on by. And then, yeah, otherwise I'm back here next week with you, Jason. And if you would like to talk about anything, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at MarsBars, MarzBars, or in the Patreon Discord, which you can join at. You can join us and get access to the Discord at any level if you go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We have our own This Is Us thread. It's jumping. People are talking about it. People are excited.
We have fun trauma bonding over
yes.
there.
So, yes. Yeah,
come over there and give us a shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you up to?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. Right now, we're still in the thick of the mass season that will seemingly never end. We're actually on a hiatus this week because the show has decided to do a recap episode before the big decision day. So no pod this week, but you can catch us next week as we talk about the big decision day for the couples. And then we have about 4 or 5 reunion shows after that. But check me and my co-host Asia Welch out there on the Rob Has a Podcast for Hap Ups Network. You can also catch me back here on Post Show Recaps covering Winning Time. We have 1 episode left, the finale next week. So you can catch me there with Grace Leader on Post Show Recaps, Winning Time, the HBO Max series. Those are my projects right now. Anything else that comes up, you can find on my Twitter. I'll be plugging it there. So yeah, that's it for this week.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention about being a patron. We have this thing called Movie Club going on. And so once, it's like every other week, someone hosts a movie party in the Discord, and I think my week is coming up next week. We're going to be watching Moulin Rouge, and I think Jason, I think you're right after me.
Yeah, you may or may not be seeing me come up pretty soon on the Movie Club on a Thursday night. The project is top secret right now, so I can't tell you what movie
right.
it is.
Okay, all right.
But let me just say quack quack. I'll give you a hint. So that's. Being a patron on Post Show Recaps is very fun. A lot of fun community. Come on over. We're having a blast over there.
Yep, and it's a great time to join at the start of the month. So
yep,
patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
Yep. Well, folks, that's it for us this week. Keep your tissues close by. We'll be back to walk you through the trauma next week. Bye.
Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.